Dear Saints, it's so good to be with you during this conference time, and I really appreciate the brothers asking me to share some words with you before you get heavily involved into the content of the conference. It's really wonderful that so many are joining this time. From what I understand in the meetings, we have about 150 saints in the meeting, and yet we might have as many as 500 saints, something like that, who are joining online, like I'm kind of doing right now. This is wonderful, and I just would like to say a little bit of our history in Europe and how it has developed. And then most of what I will fellowship today has to do with a burden that Brother Lee wanted to express way back in America, when shortly after he had arrived in America, and this is in the 1960s. So actually he got to America somewhere around 1962 or 1963 and began to fellowship and travel just a little bit, but mostly he was in California. But in 1966, there was a summertime conference in Los Angeles. And during that time, in that summertime conference in 1966, he really opened up something of his burden. And I feel like what he opened up then related to the Lord's move, especially since he was just newly in America and really not even, you know, in Europe yet. This is very meaningful for us today, and I hope you will feel the same way. So in a little bit, after I give a kind of an introductory word for this fellowship, I will stress a certain portion of the New Testament that very much supports what he is sharing. I will read a little portion of what he shared for us all together. And then depending upon our time at the end, and I'll make a little proposal for all of us that might be helpful in our experience as we are with the Lord in Europe, laboring in the churches. Okay, so just as a beginning word and my own experience in being in Europe, the first time that I was really in Europe, I didn't realize I was actually in Europe so much because I was in Moscow. So I got a phone call from a brother named Brother Benson Phillips, which many of you who have been in Europe know, and who was in Russia at the time. And he asked me if I could be in Russia in 3 weeks. I was doing something, I was busy doing something. And he all of a sudden just phoned me and he said, "Joe, can you be in Russia in 3 weeks?" And we almost made it. I think it took us maybe 4 weeks to get there, but we went to Russia in 1992, after a number of people had responded already to the ministry. I mean, a large number of people had responded. And many of these had written to the brothers, wanting to have more fellowship with them. And so eventually the brothers felt that there needed to be a full-time training in Moscow to give these saints the opportunity to progress further. And so this training was going to begin in the autumn of 1992, and my wife and I, with our two young children, who I think were 11 and 8 at the time, were encouraged to go and to participate in the training, to live with the trainees. We did. We lived in the same building with the trainees, and there were 70 trainees who came to the first full-time training in Moscow, and that was in the autumn of 1992. We were there for that term, part of the next term, and then we went back to Houston for a couple of years, never expecting we would return to that part of the world again. But anyway, in 1995, then I received another call, and this was from Brother Lee, encouraging me to move to Europe, to live in London, but to visit the saints who were scattered throughout Europe. And of course, during that time, I was able to make some trips into the northern parts of Europe, but very few saints were there by this time, and very few saints were anywhere in Europe by that time. And I did my best to try to get around to as many as possible in the time that was allotted, And then as time went on, we became more and more focused on the labor that was going to begin and that was beginning in London, because there was some property there. We called it Putney. That's where we were. And then in 1997, we began the full-time training in London. We had 70 when we began in Moscow, but we only had 7 in our first term of training in London. And we were there for a period of time. And then later we moved to a city or an area outside of London because we had grown and we needed more space. But finally, there was a feeling by the brothers, the leading brothers in London, that the training should be in London itself, in the city of London. And so we began to look for a place, and that's where we eventually found the Bower House property. If time allows, I'll say a little bit about that toward the end of my fellowship with you today. But anyway, that was our kind of our European experience in the more recent times. But what I would like to emphasize today in my fellowship is the fellowship that Brother Lee gave in 1966. This was in Los Angeles. And there were some seeking ones in America who had been going every summer to join what was going on in California. And they would be there for a few weeks. And some of these came from Texas. They actually came mainly from 3 localities in Texas. And then in 1967, the following year, my wife and I moved to one of those localities. So the following year after Brother Lee gave this fellowship in 1966, we met the saints in a city called Waco in Texas, where the Baylor University was. And right away, my wife was a school teacher. She ended up teaching school with 2 of the saints. We had rented a house, and right away some brothers walked up to me as I was mowing the grass at the house we rented. So I met 2 of the brothers. Altogether, there were 15 saints in the church in this town called Waco, and there were 100,000 people in that town, and we met 4 saints out of the 15 in a town of 100,000 people the first week that we were there. Well, all of a sudden, 2 years later, this wonderful group of people moved away, and they moved to Houston, Texas, every one of them. Moved to Houston, Texas. At that time, I was very occupied with work and study, and also didn't really know what was going on with them. And so I was not with them. But we were connected to them, and we appreciated them very much, and we honored who they were and what they had been doing. Later, we actually ourselves moved to Houston, and that's when we came into the church life. And this was in 1971. But what I wanted to say all of that for is because of what Brother Lee was sharing in those early times and what he emphasized. And in that conference that he gave in 1966, he emphasized 4 matters. And I'm going to emphasize these today. And I will pay more attention to the 3rd item and what he had to say about that. And I will also read a portion to you from the Word and a portion from the ministry related to that. Okay, so first of all, our brother had this to say, that there are 4 crucial matters that we need to learn to take care of. 4 crucial matters. This was 60 years ago, almost to the day, 60 years ago when he shared this, 1966 in August. So right at 60 years ago. The first crucial matter is that we must learn to exercise our spirit. I don't know about your experience. I came out of Christianity. I did not even hear about my spirit until I touched the Lord's recovery. So this was a big item that our brother realized after all the years he'd been in China, then with Brother Nee, and then of course, you know, after Brother Nee was not there, our brother stress this, but many believers had no idea they even had a human spirit. But it's not enough just to realize that we have a human spirit, but we must exercise it. You know, Paul told Timothy that we don't have a spirit of cowardice, but we have a spirit of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. We need to be those who exercise our spirit. So, saints, this weekend, I hope every moment you're there, you would be aware that you have a spirit that needs to be exercised. This is, to Brother Lee, this was the first crucial matter in a believer's experience. And he shared this 60 years ago. What was the second item? He said the second item is that both of these first three items especially, are, he said, we have to learn to do these things. So we have to learn first to exercise our spirit. And I think many of us might say, if we've been around a while, we need to relearn to exercise our spirit, or we need to be helped to revitalize the desire to exercise our spirit so that it can take the lead in everything that we do. The second item is that we must learn to contact the Lord, to enjoy Him as your portion, and grow in Him. Contact the Lord to what? Enjoy Him. I would say, until I came into the Lord's recovery, I never ever heard this expression. What do you mean, enjoy the Lord? I know we're supposed to worship the Lord, but what do you mean, enjoy the Lord? So our brother was emphasizing these two matters. First of all, exercise your spirit. Secondly, enjoy the Lord so that you can grow in Him and you can have enjoy the portion that you have in Him. These are very, very crucial matters, and there's four crucial matters to his view. What is the third? And the third is the one that we will spend most of this portion of time on. Then, he says, then, after we exercise our spirit, after we're enjoying the Lord, we must learn how to bear fruit to gain new converts. We must learn how to bear fruit to gain new converts. So we will emphasize this in the balance of our sharing today. Are we willing to learn how to bear fruit to gain new converts? Because in many cases, we've been around. Many of us have been around for a while. The Lord's view, you know, with fruit bearing is a matter that it's generally a harvest that's at least once a year. And our brother has emphasized this many times, that something's wrong if we're not having fruit that's being gained at least yearly. So we must learn how to bear fruit so that we can gain new contacts, to gain the new contacts. Then the fourth item, most of us would agree with, I think. It's essential. Without this, all these other matters, how can we do them? So what is the fourth crucial matter our brother emphasized? The fourth crucial matter he emphasized was that we take the proper ground to keep the oneness. Hallelujah. So today, you all are gathered together. I think probably, if not all, nearly everybody who's there honors this matter of taking the proper ground to keep the oneness. If you're not clear on this, just get with the saints. It is a very clear matter in the New Testament. And as you go from the beginning, as the Lord shared from Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, and you get into Acts, and then you get into the epistles, finally culminating with Revelation, this matter is very clear. The Lord's way is the local ground of oneness. This keeps the oneness by taking the proper ground. So at the beginning of the church life in the New Testament, there was a church, only one, the church in Jerusalem. Later, there was a church in Antioch. Later, churches in many other cities, but never any variation in related to the church. So everything else is an invention that men came up with because this was too restrictive to them. But to the Lord, this is essential. So may we keep these four crucial matters in our being and ask ourselves this question, Lord, is this our experience? Are we exercised in our spirit? Are we enjoying the Lord? Are we fruitful? And are we standing on the local ground of oneness? All of these are very, very essential and critical and crucial matters in our experience. So in the conference, some of this will be emphasized there. Some of these matters will be emphasized. Other matters will be emphasized. But the fact is, when you're in a conference, when you're at home, no matter what's going on, it should always be crucial to every one of us that we need to exercise our spirit. We need to enjoy the Lord. And this needs to flow into something, because we're branches in a vine. Branches in a vine. So that brings me to then a key portion of the word that we wanted to fellowship today. And let me get to it here. This is John, book of John, chapter 15. I'll read these verses to you, verses 1 through 8. Here he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So if you look at the footnotes, you can realize what all of this means. I won't go into the footnotes, but please go to your recovery version as a reference. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Oh Lord, he does. He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Obviously, the Lord's burden for fruit bearing. Then he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So if you're in your spirit, you are one with the Spirit. If you're enjoying the Lord, you're abiding in the Lord. Okay. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Saints, I believe the Lord is stating this as a fact. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, if we're not bearing fruit, then according to the word, that must mean we are not actually abiding in him. We may think we are, but if we're abiding in him, then there's the fruit. And this is real people. He's talking about people, not the fruits of the Spirit that you find in Galatians. He's talking about people. Okay, if one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. And we know this is our case. If we're not fruitful, many times we are in a very dry situation. So eventually they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now here we should not regard this burned as being eternal fire, but there are many other aspects and ways of the burning, even psychologically. But the fact is, we are in trouble if we don't bear fruit. Okay, praise the Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and this is regarding fruit bearing, and it shall be done for you. And this is my Father glorified. Would you like to see the Father glorified? And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will become my disciples. Again, we have to ask the question, well, what if we don't bear much fruit? Then according to this verse, we won't become his disciples. So saints, these verses in John 15, verses 1 through 8 are very sobering. And we must ask ourselves, Lord, surely I could bear one fruit a year. This is the principle of life. If we had something we were growing and it didn't do that, we would pull it up and get rid of it and get one that would produce fruit. Well, this is the Father's requirement of us and his desire of us. So I'll jump down to verse 16. Our brother used this verse in his fellowship. He said, in verse 16, the Lord said, you did not choose me. We know that. We didn't choose him, he chose us. but I chose you, and I set you. I set you that you should go forth. I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So this is all related to fruit bearing. The asking is related to fruit bearing. He will give it to us, but we have to be those who are faithful to his word. So this is a very sobering word related to the fruit bearing. So in conjunction with that, I'd like to read a portion from what our brother shared in that conference. And this is really just two pages. It'll take me just a few minutes to read this to you. But the heading that he put in this section that was recorded, that was written, says the way to have a prevailing gospel. And then this is what he had to say. The Lord's way is a way of life, not a way of movement. It is a grain sown into the earth, growing up and producing more grains. This is not a movement. It is the way of life growing. Some grains will not be useful, but others will be very useful. These useful ones will be sown into the earth again, grow up, and produce more grains. It is in this way that at first there is only one grain, but after a few years, the field will be full of grains. This is the way of life. This is why I stress that we must forget our old concept of movements, activities, campaigns, speakers, and big crowds. If we practice the proper way faithfully, we will have a many-fold increase. Then we will have a church meeting with many attendants. Everyone will work, function, and bear some responsibility. The church will be enriched with the spiritual supply. The church will also be rich in the financial supply. Today we may not have much need, but one day some brothers may go out to other countries. At that time, we will have a big need. If all the believers are brought into the church in the way that we have been speaking, everyone will work, function, and bear responsibility. This way is 100% the Lord's way. By this way, we will not have a big show, a big campaign, or a big crowd. Rather, we will have a prevailing gospel. This is very simple. If we put this into practice, we will be kept living and close to the Lord. According to John 15, when we bear responsibility for unbelievers, we pray much. The Lord deals with us concerning many things that we must give up. We must answer the Lord concerning many things, and he makes demands and requirements of us. This will make us healthy, living, and aggressive members. Then, whoever we bring to the Lord will be strong. They will be strong in the Spirit, and this will affect the meetings and make them living. If we do not practice this, we may have only 20 brothers and sisters praying together from the first of the year to the end. In the long run, we will lose the freshness and the newness in the meetings. However, if we do practice this way, we will bring two new ones 1 week and two more another week. We will bring in new members continually, and we will help them learn to function and pray in the meetings. Then, whenever they open their mouth, there will be freshness and newness. The meetings will be living, fresh, and rich. It is in this way that the church goes on and that the building up of the church is carried out. It is also in this way that the gospel will go out. I look to the Lord that at least by 1970, if the Lord delays, some of the brothers among us will go out. Then prayers will follow, and there will be the burden for the Lord to spread to other countries. This is the right way. Please bring this to the Lord. Okay, I'll read just a little bit more from here, but I wanted to stop here because he mentioned the year 1970. So as I mentioned earlier, he spoke these words, and they were recorded. in 1966. And he anticipated that at least by 1970, the saints would go out. Well, some of the saints who were there and who came back again to be with him in 1967 and 1968 and 1969 in the summer times became burdened that perhaps they could go before 1970. And these saints were in the three small localities in Texas. And one of them was that locality I mentioned earlier where my wife and I met them. And all three of those localities moved. They moved to Houston to begin the church life at the end of the summer in 1969. That was before 1970. Many of them were school teachers, as my wife was a school teacher, and that's how she met them. So they moved because they taught school, and they were out during the summer, and they went to Houston without jobs, but they got jobs teaching school, and the church life began in Houston in 1969, and my wife and I entered the church life in Houston in 1971. Thankfully, there is now a church again back where they were in Waco. There's one in Denton where another group was, and in many other places that saints moved from, there are now churches. Well, brothers and sisters, our brother had this view, and he fully expected that this is what would happen, and it continued to happen. One time in Houston, after the gathering and coming together in this way, our brother Benson also was there in a meeting in the Lord's table, and he just had a burden, and he said, I'd just like to see all of us here in the meeting. He said, how many of you have come into the church life here in the last month? And actually, 40 saints stood up that they had come into the church life in those last 30 days. It was a time of bearing fruit, but it was a time where there was much exercise of the Spirit. There was much enjoyment of the Lord. There was much prayer for fruit bearing, and there was much contacting of people. And there was also oneness in the genuine ground of oneness as the church in the city of Houston. So, brothers and sisters, what our brother envisioned and what he hoped for, he said these were the four critical matters. He said this 60 years ago. It still is true today. These are the crucial matters that we need to take care of. Okay, so he continues this way. I have just about a half a page left to read to you. From now on, the churches in every locality, must pay their full attention to helping everyone to do four things. Exercise their spirit, number one. Enjoy the Lord. Number two, practice fruit bearing. Number three, and learn how to take the ground of oneness. Number four, we are general Christians. We do not want to be special Christians. There is nothing special with us. We are simple and we are one with all Christians in the world. However, there is not much need at this time to talk about the ground of oneness. We must spend more time to help the brothers and sisters to enjoy the Lord, and by enjoying the Lord, to bear fruit. These two matters require much help. And I'll mention in a moment a suggestion that will help with this matter. All the time we help people, on the one hand, to enjoy the Lord, and on the other hand, to bear fruit. We can forget about other things and simply take care of these two matters. Then we will grow in life and we will increase in number. In life there will be new growth, and in number there will be a real increase. The church will be built up and the Lord's testimony will spread, not by a movement or an outward show, but by the inner life growing in a hidden way. This is the fastest and most prevailing way. If we all put this into practice, the result will be bigger and better than before. Even in 1 year, we will see the results, especially in a city where there are many students. We need to fight the battle for this. Therefore, we must be faithful to the Lord. This is the last paragraph I'll read. We must be faithful to the Lord. On the one hand, we need to enjoy Him, and on the other hand, we need to bear fruit, to impart what we enjoy of Him to others, to produce something. This will lay the foundation and pave the way for the Lord to work out all things in His economy. The problem is that for many centuries, the church has not afforded the Lord this opportunity. The church has gone astray, even in the matter of spreading the gospel. Now we must come back to the right way. The right way is the way of life, the hidden way. Put this into practice and see what will come out. Then the last sentence, we must pay our full attention to enjoying the Lord and bearing fruit. Okay, so I discovered this book just recently. Actually, it wasn't printed until 2021. It was spoken in 1966. But this has bothered me very much. I'm in Texas right now. I'll be back over in London in a couple of weeks. But we have become quite burdened about this, and we have begun some practice. And one of the things that we have begun to do in London that some of you may have heard about is we have picked up a time on Saturdays. You know, we realize with many Europeans, and I think this is especially true in really large cities like London is, people are just not much available time-wise during the week because it takes so long to get to and from work. They don't have the time and energy much during the week. But even the worldly system has arranged for most people to be free on Saturdays and Lord's Days, even if it's ungodly situations. They're free. They're flexible. So we've begun to use our Saturdays more productively. And so what we do right now anyway, at least what we have been doing, is we have a video, life study video by Brother Lee, that is the last class of the full-time training each week. And it's on Saturday morning. And we have been in the life study of Ephesians. If you've seen any of those messages, Brother Lee was very energetic. I think in almost every message, he had to take his jacket off because he got too hot. Well, some have come to watch with us these videos. And it's always produced a lot of enjoyment to the ones who come and to ourselves as well, the trainees, and anybody else is welcome to join these times. And we do this at 10:30 on Saturday morning. And then we follow this with lunch, anybody that wants to join. And then we go out for about an hour just to knock on doors. Not to do anything special, but mainly just to go into the neighborhoods and just to give some material to people and invite them to join what we're doing, to join in with us as best they can. No pressure. And we just began this. So this coming autumn term, we are considering to develop this further. And we call this Saturdays at Bauer House. So if we can, we will try to put together some information that we can send to all the saints, make it available. If some would like to join and even bring some with them to come spend some time with us, perhaps stay overnight or stay a few days, whatever. So we will work on this and we will let you know as this develops over the next few weeks as we get back and begin to get things together. And first of all, we see how many trainees we're going to have and how much space we have available, etc. But saints, I just wanted you to realize that we are burdened to take care of the Lord's need in Europe, all together and in one accord. So right now, we are also trying to prepare a proper facility that will give many saints the opportunity to blend together. And it's in London, as you know, and this is primarily for the full-time training to give them a better situation than what they've had up till now. But also it gives us a way to blend and a way to come together in larger groups. We will have that building, and when we get the building, we'll also be able to use it for packing and shipping Bibles out to many people in different parts of Europe. All of these things we're working toward. I would say we're about halfway there as far as reaching what we need financially, and we're looking at another about 2 years. We should be able to finish and have this completely ready. And by the end of the summer, we should be able to receive more saints as volunteers who would like to participate with us, because by then we will be moving from the areas that require a lot of hard hats and professional people and heavy equipment into things that almost anybody can participate in. We will keep you informed about all of that. But the main burden in all of this is that there would be an environment in a way that the saints could come together and even bring their contacts with them, so that they could be an environment of exercising their spirit, enjoying the Lord, even being able to have a view of bearing some as their fruit to be gained by the Lord. And we do believe in the process they all will come to the realization there is an ordained way that God has prepared to carry out his economy. And this is city after city with one local expression, who the people who love the Lord and give themselves to be in one accord for his testimony. This is our aim. This is our goal. This is what we so much believe the Lord wants to do. And we want to do this in one accord all over Europe. So right now, we feel like in London, we have an opportunity that this can be a supply to saints as they come. We have some facilities. We have some personnel. We have a bus stop right out front of Bauer House. Actually, the bus stop is between our two main entrances into our property. And that bus stop goes to Romford. And from there, there's a train that goes directly without any diversion to Heathrow Airport. And then there are another 5 airports around London. So it's easy to get to London in an affordable way. It's easy to travel. And hopefully we will be able to receive and provide hospitality for any saints and any seeking ones who would have the heart. But what we want to do, saints, is we want to realize 60 years ago, our brother had this strong burden in him that we need to emphasize these 4 critical matters. We all know about them. It's not that we don't know. We know already. The first is to exercise our spirit. Thankfully, we know we have a spirit. Most people, even Christians, don't even know that. Then we need to enjoy the Lord to the uttermost so that the life juice can flow through us and flow into others. And that's how the fruit is born. That's how it happens, through the enjoyment. And then we want to take a strong stand, city by city, that we are in one accord and we are standing on the ground of oneness. And our brother believed these 4 matters were the 4 crucial items. He spoke this almost to the day 60 years ago. So, saints, I'm very happy that I had the opportunity to share this with you, and I stand with every one of you as you give yourselves to participate with your whole being in the conference this weekend, and look forward to being with you either in London or in your place as soon as possible. Much grace to you all. Hallelujah.